time to turn off my OCD and obsession. And it's been a couple of weeks since he's been jetting around the globe, but now it's time to catch up with Flo Tess, our first lady of the Eugene sports scene. Find all she does for KEZI TV, channel 709 in high def on my Comcast system. Catch up online, go to KEZI.com. Become a Twitter follower using the handle at Kristen E. Rogers. KR, good to catch up with you finally. How you doing?
I know. Hi, Steve. Yeah, I'm finally back from Michigan, back from traveling for a while, and now it's just prepping for the U.S. Olympic trials. It's just over at Hayward Field earlier this morning, and it's looking absolutely beautiful.
Were you over there with a notepad, or were you actually prepping to be in an event?
No, I'm actually going to I'm going to do the steeplechase, the 3,000-meter steeplechase. It's always something I've wanted to do. Yeah, no, just over there, we had a quick conversation with Vin Lanana, so... Yeah, it's looking beautiful, though.
Now, I know you're as big a golf fan as I am. U.S. Open last week, the delayed penalty, the misread by officials. So when you're watching this from the handling by the USGA or the response by Dustin Johnson to kind of let them off the hook, what kind of struck you about this very odd situation at our national championship?
Yeah, Steve, well, I think you saw my tweet, but so I was traveling back from Michigan from a wedding last Sunday, and when I landed in Portland, I got a text from my dad saying, Dustin Johnson has penalty trouble at the U.S. Open. Now I'm thinking, Dad, you watched the highlight again from last year, unless you're not watching the actual U.S. Open. Like, complete deja vu. And then, I take my luggage and I run to the first sports bar I see to see what's going on, and I'm on the phone with my dad, and he's taking me all through it. And I was blown away. The fact that, seven, 8 holes later, you decide to make this decision that you, quote, may give him a penalty stroke at the end of the round. I mean, that is the biggest mind, you know, it messes with your mind so much as a player to know that, you're one, it's kind of close to at that point, and two, the fact that it may happen or it may not, I mean, that was ridiculous. But I think my biggest takeaway from it all, besides the fact that it was a complete mess up, was the support that DJ had from his fellow golfers. And I have to give Fox credit because I think they used social media in a great way in their broadcast when they started showing the tweets from Ricky Fowler, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, all showing their outrage, saying this is a joke, saying, I think Rory even said that USGA was on amateur hour right now. So I have to applaud, you don't see that in a lot of sports, you know, the competitors in that event kind of, you know, trying to help out one of the other guys playing that day. And I think that's something unique about golf. But, I mean, I think USGA is going to be on their toes for a while because that was a mess up, and especially on, you know, the biggest stage in America's golf.
Not to mention later on, Tiger chimed in, and even Jack Nicklaus,
oh, yeah,
who was there, was like, well, so this is a load of crap. But we know beyond golf, your fandom also lies with your heart in the Bay Area. And since we last spoke, bad things have happened to you. How would you evaluate the season that included a record 73 wins and while making it all the way to a winner-take-all game seven, but coming up short?
You know, Steve, I said on your show few months back at this point that when they were in the race for the 73, and I said I would rather have the 73 wins than another championship.
Uh-oh.
And I feel like I may have spoken too soon because getting that close and getting that far, as a fan, it hurts. I mean, this one stung, especially considering all the facts, the history. Everything was on Golden State's side. I mean, no team had ever come back down 3-1 in the NBA Finals. Golden State hadn't lost three games in a row since 2013, and they were on their home floor. Despite all of that, though, after Game 6, I had a feeling that the Cavs were going to pull it out. That was a completely worn-down, tired Golden State team, and I had a feeling, you know, even though you had all those facts and logic behind you and you were going to be on your home court, this Cavs team had something else in them. And have to applaud Cleveland, you know, bringing home a trophy after 52 years is a phenomenal accomplishment. And, you know, LeBron James played great, and the fact that they got Kevin Love to play good defense for, like, the one play that mattered. I mean, you have to give the Cavaliers credit there. I think this hurts for a lot of Warriors fans. I was watching it on my couch, curled up, and I have to thank HBO for putting out a film. But no, I mean, I think it was a phenomenal season as a whole, but to end on that kind of loss hurt.
Let's get to the new lacrosse coach at Oregon, who we were lucky to have on the show earlier this week. You posted a segment of her press conference on your Twitter feed, just the second coach in program history. As far as your impressions, Katrina Dowd, what did she have to say about her plan to keep Duck lacrosse growing and maybe some changes she wants to make?
Yeah, well, first of all, I have to say she's an extremely personable person. I mean, they had, you know, Kelly Graves over at this press conference, and she and Kelly are just laughing it up. I mean, she is going to fit right into this Oregon coaching kind of coaching mafia, whatever you want to call it.
I like that.
I think she's going to fit in great here in Eugene. I also think if you look at her resume alone, like, she is unreal. I mean, the three NCAA championships as a player at Northwestern. She's won two as an assistant coach, including this past year when she was at UNC. I mean, she knows her stuff. And I think it's a smart move by Oregon to have this new hire and have a new hire like Katrina. And the Pac-12 is going to sponsor women's lacrosse in 2018. So they're going to have themselves in a very, very good position when this comes around in 2018. You know, Katrina hasn't met the players yet, but she says she likes to start with a clean slate, and then she's really, really big on player development and skill development. And I think that is, going back to the fundamentals is going to be great for any team, really, especially when you're hiring a coach who has such a legacy of success already behind her.
We're talking with Kristen Rogers of KEZI Sports. I want to get to the upcoming Olympics, but first, when we first spoke, you mentioned something about interning for the 2012 Summer Games in London. You were based not only in one of my favorite places in New York City, but one of my favorite places in the city when you were at USC. Kind of reiterate, what was your job and what do you remember about that very unique experience?
Yeah, so I got to live in New York for about 2 months, and I was working in 30 Rockefeller, and more specifically in Studio 8H, which is which is where SNL is held, where Saturday Night Live is held. So that was
awesome.
Pretty awesome. And whenever I watch SNL now and they have things, you know, walking through the hallways and the elevators, and that's just unreal. And, I mean, it was, besides kind of the starstruck factor, like, before he went over to London, I was in the same elevator as Brian Williams, and I think I, like, tried to blend into the walls because I was so, like, Brian Williams is in the same elevator as me right now. So I worked in what they called the highlight factories. So all of the content that was being literally being shot in London, we were taking and we were putting it onto the web on NBC Olympics and NBC.com, and everything that was on the Facebook page, the social media pages, all of that. And what was pretty cool is a lot of the commentators and the play-by-play were all based in New York as well. So you had, you know, like Lisa Leslie doing women's basketball, and you had all these, you know, phenomenal athletes in their own right calling these games and walking around. And it was a amazing, amazing environment. I'm such an Olympics nut, and working that closely was pretty awesome. Because when you think about Summer Olympics, you think swimming, you think track and field, basketball, you know, you think about that. But there's also some really cool kind of niche sports out there too, like kayaking and, you know, it's coming off of the golf coming back this year. So, I mean, there's some really cool niche sports too that's fun to, I'm now a fan of myself.
Now, every time I hear about Rio, it seems like there's no sports. It's about Zika, gangs of young people harassing visitors, filthy water, economic turmoil. Sounds like an awesome time. But in all seriousness, what would your reaction have been if your buddies at KEZI came to you and said, hey, Kristen, we'd like you to cover these summer games?
Yeah, so I think there's two kind of rationales behind this. If you're going as an athlete, I think you're going to be okay. I mean, especially when you think about what the CDC is doing in terms of protecting. I mean, there's obviously no there's no vaccine for Zika, but the CDC is doing everything in their power to make sure that these athletes are going to be safe. These athletes are going to have bottled water, food that's flowing from America. They're not going to, they're taking every possible precaution. And so I think as an athlete, you're pretty safe going into Rio, because there's going to be so much security and things like that. As a fan and as a reporter, I get a little hesitant because I do not have the CDC behind me saying, here is the mosquito repellent that will save you from Zika, or, what happens if you run out of bottled water, or things like that. So at the end of the day, I love the Olympics. I don't think this is an Olympics that I could do. Now, if I was like faced and like KZI really did give me like a ticket to Rio, I may really have to rethink that, because that's an amazing opportunity. But I'm going to say that I'm pretty happy that I'll be staying in Eugene for this.
All right. Final thought. Oregon football, Kirk Merritt is going to transfer. Was it a football decision, family issues? Regardless, I remember what a huge get he was when he signed 16 months ago. You speak with the team and his mates all season long. So how would you describe maybe the level of surprise, and base it on what his teammates had told you about him?
Yeah, so his teammates told me that he was going to be the guy to watch this year. One of my favorite questions during spring ball is to ask these guys, hey, especially, more veteran guys like your Darren Carrington, your Devin Allen, and say, hey, who do you guys think is going to be the young guy to watch this year? And across the board, it was all Kirk Merritt. He was going to be the kind of breakout star this year. And, he really didn't have that big of an impact last year, but you have to think that he was a good enough player to where they didn't want to redshirt him. They wanted him on the field already. And he had, had some great plays on special teams, and played in 12 of the 13 games. So I think it was great to get him out there on the field. From his Twitter account, it looks like this was more of a family-based decision than anything else. Some people have been saying that it's because of he wasn't going to get enough playing time. I think that obviously we're going to see another very deep wide receiver core again this season, but I think he could have added a lot of value. So I think it's sad. I'm not going to. Everyone really is not going to be able to see what Kirk Merritt could have done at Oregon, but I know he says he wants to continue to play elsewhere. So maybe we'll see that same speed, because he goes on the track team. So maybe we'll see that same speed somewhere across the country.
All righty. Great information as always. So we're kind of hitting the dog days. So what could folks look for from you and KEZI Sports this weekend?
Yeah, dog days is right, Steve. I will be out at M's Baseball for the next kind of few days. And then it's pretty cool. There's a program called Art of the Athlete that is it's a class that Oregon students can take. And they basically work all summer, and it's a summer class. And they work with disabled students, and they do art projects with them. And it's actually really, really sweet. And I was there last year and was able to, to watch it happen. It's going to happen again tomorrow. So I'm going to have a feature on KZI on both Saturday and Sunday. It's really awesome. And you get guys, from football this year. It's, Arian Springs, Ugo Amadi. You have some great, football players who are giving back to the community and giving back to these kids. And it's pretty cool to watch. So I'll be working on that as well.
Yeah, it's a great program. I've actually seen some of the work at the Schnitz. KR, it's great having you back. We'll look forward to what you got to throw at us this weekend, especially that feature. Always a pleasure. Enjoy your weekend.
Sounds great. Happy Friday.
All right. Take care.